T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And joining us now is the Chief Inclusion Officer for the Ruderman Family Foundation, Miriam Heyman. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for having me.
So the 2019 National Play Campaign is going to be at Busch Stadium. It helps to promote the importance of children living a healthy and active lifestyle. So this Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon at Busch Stadium, can you kind of give me an idea of what to expect if families wanted to be involved?
Sure, yeah. So the play campaign promotes a healthy lifestyle and positive decision-making related to health, including exercise and good eating choices among young people. And this program, as well as many other play programs, are fully inclusive. So that means that kids with and without disabilities will play together on field at Busch Stadium with Cardinals athletic training staff. And the kids with disabilities will be alongside the kids without. They won't have peripheral roles at these events. They won't be depicted as heroes defeating the odds. It'll just be real true inclusion. They'll be regular participants alongside the children without disabilities.
Wow. So you say true inclusion. So what kind of events are they going to be doing then at the National Play Campaign this Tuesday?
Well, most importantly, they're going to be having fun. The Cardinals staff, including medical director and head athletic trainer Adam Olson, will be leading the kids in fun exercise activities, obstacle courses, they'll play catch, they'll run around the field. They'll just get out there and they'll have fun. And at the same time, the media coverage of this event and of 30 similar events around the country will show to the American public what true inclusion looks like.
Oh, that's awesome. So the Ruderman Family Foundation advocates for full inclusion of people with disabilities, and you see this at Busch Stadium on Tuesday. So really, this is an event where everyone's welcome, and how does anyone get involved? Do they just show up, or do they have to sign up ahead of time?
So, yeah, unfortunately, you do have to sign up ahead of time. Our partners, the National Down Syndrome Society, are working with us to bring kids with and without disabilities to play together. Baseball is the background of this message of inclusion and the media coverage of this event, because baseball is beloved to so many Americans. And I believe that baseball has a moral authority to speak about topics as important as inclusion, equality, and civil rights. And baseball has a really great history. Curtis Pride, who's a former major league outfielder, was deaf, and Jim Abbott, a former pitcher, was born without a right hand. And these are tremendously successful major league players who contributed to their teams and their communities. And more recently, the Ruderman Family Foundation with Major League Baseball led the change, or the campaign to change the disabled list to what's now called the injured list, to eradicate the notion that people with disabilities can't play, because we know that they can. And so this activity is one example of that, which I think will change people's minds about what inclusion can and should look like in our society.
Oh, that's interesting, the terminology. I never really would have thought of it that way. So that's a campaign you guys have been working on, and are you making some headway on that?
They made the change, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a few months ago in December.
Oh, is that right?
MLB, yeah. There's no more disabled list in Major League Baseball. It's the injured list, and we're tremendously proud of that. And as you know, language is very powerful to shape perceptions, and there is still a lot of stigma around disability in our country. The unemployment rate of people with disabilities is about 70%, and the vast majority of these people can work. But stigma leads employers to believe that they can't, and language perpetuates that. So we're thrilled that Major League Baseball took this gigantic step forward.
Oh, Miriam Heyman with the Ruderman Family Foundation, Chief Inclusion Officer there. Who's your favorite baseball team?
Oh, I'm from Boston, Red Sox all the way.
Oh, Boston Red Sox. So how about the Blues beating your Boston Bruins.
Yeah, well, that was disappointing to many people here, but I prefer the baseball over hockey.
Oh, I see. So you want to block that one out. I understand. Yeah, we finally get to brag here. The Blues finally do it. They finally win the Cup, so I feel like we get a little bit of bragging rights, at least for the next couple of months and into the next season.
So, yes, enjoy. I'm very happy for you.
So the 2019 National Play Campaign, it goes for a couple hours. It sounds like the kids have a blast with this sort of thing, too. It sounds really fun.
Yes, absolutely. It's essence. It's a fun afternoon. And they're on the field. I mean, who wouldn't love that? They're in the midst of Busch Stadium, running around the bases. And they receive training from Cardinals staff. I mean, I think it's a dream come true for many kids.
Yeah. What's the age limit on something like that? Because, you know, I'm 35. Can I go and do it?
No, unfortunately, it's for adolescents and kids.
It sounds fun.
You just barely missed the cutoff.
Well, what are the age limits then?
It goes up until 16.
Oh, okay. So there's a pretty... And what's the youngest you can do?
I think we've had kids as young as 8 at events.
Yeah. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for, you know, they got to kind of know what they're doing at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty fun. And you guys travel to different ballparks all across the United States. You guys reach tens of thousands of young Americans, giving some positive messages. Well, if you were to give a tip to anyone with a young one right now to try to keep a healthy and active lifestyle, because there's so many distractions, there's so many screens out there, what kind of advice would you give to the parents to make sure the kids want to stay active?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially now as summer is starting and kids are out of school and they have so much leisure time, which they could potentially use either actively or not with their phones. And I would say encourage those kids to get off their phones. I mean, we all know how much better we feel and how much happier we are when we're moving around and outdoors. So I think that's very important.
Get off the phones.
That's
pretty good. You're going to tell them, you know, we're going to start tossing your phone around if you don't get off. That would be something that would scare them to put it down immediately, I would believe.
And this is a great opportunity for the kids to take selfies while they're running around the bases at Busch Stadium and post those selfies if that's what they choose to do.
Oh, boy. So they're going to be able to keep the phone on there. Yeah, they can do a little bit of both. Hopefully it's not all selfies.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some Cardinal staff there, which is really neat that they participate in this sort of thing. That adds a little extra dimension to it because it's kind of fun when you get the, you know, the major league staff. And, you know, I understand that there's going to be a Cardinals infielder, Tommy Edman, that's going to be there, which is really cool, too, that they want to participate in that.
Yeah. I mean, we have been so grateful to our partners, the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainer Society, because the staff across the country has been participating in these events, virtually every team, and players as well. And it makes a difference for these kids because it gives these kids role models so they can see what a healthy lifestyle can look like in 10, 20 years down the road.
Well, this event is Tuesday morning at Busch Stadium, but if people wanted to check out the work you're doing at the Ruderman Family Foundation, where can they find you guys?
Sure. RudermanFamilyFoundation.org. And Ruderman is RUDERMAN.
RudermanFamilyFoundation.org. And Miriam Heyman with the Ruderman Family Foundation, their Chief Inclusion Officer. Thanks for spending some time with us here on Overnight America.
Thank you so much for having me.
I always like to talk about these things. It's important that they put on these community events. I do like that. I wanted to get a few things in this hour. Why is St. Louis growing slower than other cities? There was a study, at least a couple of thoughts about that were put out. Maybe we can go over that. Kansas City's changing the way that they handle law enforcement when it comes to gun-related violence. We'll talk about their plan and see if it could work for something here in St. Louis on Overnight America, KMOX. So great. You know, it's so humid out. We're going to see the potential of more storms and humidity get into this area, and then it's going to get hot up into the 90s. Oh, beautiful. I finally got my car tested out this weekend. Got a bad ignition coil. Yep. I don't know the engine types of a lot of different makes and models. I just remember back when I did a lot of my own repairs. I had this 1998 Jeep And the way that these engines used to work, there used to be the spark plugs, there used to be the spark plug wires, and then it would go to a cap, and then each wire would correspond with the cap, and that's the way the, you know, it'd send the signal to, you know, spark the spark plug, and you had to make sure you knew which way the wires went. But now it's like, at least the engine that I have now, they have these individual ignition coils, I think they're called, built into each spark plug. So as opposed to there being a cap, you have these each individual like caps or whatever on the spark plug. So apparently one went wrong. I'm going to try to replace it tomorrow. I ordered the part online and it's kind of sad. I had to go to my local AutoZone and I knew how much it cost to buy the replacement online on Amazon. And I went there and I talked to them and they ran the test and they told me which one was wrong. And when we went back to the desk, the replacement part was $40 more if I were to order through them as opposed to buy one on Amazon and get it at my house the next day. $40 more. And I told the guy, I said, man, I feel really lousy for doing this for you, but that part, it'll cost me $40 more as opposed to waiting one day and getting it tomorrow. So I bought some spark plugs from him because I thought, yeah, I might as well just replace the spark plugs while it's out. And sorry, I'm not going to order that part for you. I think most people get it. I understand those sort of things, but I hope they understand it. I don't know. If you work retail, there's got to be a point where you feel pretty annoyed when someone says, I can get it online. I'll just buy it later for cheaper. That's got to be an annoying thing when you do a little bit of work to help try to facilitate a sale or whatever it is. All right, so there was a story. Why is St. Louis growing more slowly than expected? If you had to answer that question, let's say you were not a fancy pants professor of economics, or you didn't understand exactly what was going down, and maybe you're not part of the St. Louis Federal Reserve or whatever it may be. Because now we look at a regional economist who looks at the area of St. Louis and wonders, wait a minute, why is it that other areas continue to grow at a much faster rate than St. Louis? And he comes up with some explanations. Charles Gascon is his name. So here's what they say. St. Louis Metropolitan Statistical Area, the MSA, Metropolitan Statistical Area population grew 4.7% between 2000 and 2018, significantly lagging on the national growth rate, considering that some other areas were up to 19 or 20%. So similar sized areas, Kansas City grew 17.9%, Nashville grew 39.2%. This is a big problem. I know a lot of the politicians are looking at why in the world can't we get more people here, right? We can't attract an Amazon. We can't do this. We can't do that. We got a lot of good things going for St. Louis. And we got some pretty amazing things that the people here of St. Louis enjoy. Whenever we have friends from out of town, I always run down, here's the list of things we can do for free. You know, bring your kids. You're not going to pay an arm and a leg to go to a vacation because we can do this, 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 and this. Oh, and by the way, we get into all of these for free. It's pretty amazing. They love that. Love it. Love it. Love it. I mean, we have some pretty good amenities and we have some great food and good people here. So why are we growing so slowly compared to a Nashville? Are we just not as sexy as a Nashville? I mean, do they appeal to them because, whoa, boy, those millennials, they love living in that atmosphere? Well, maybe. So here's what they say. He summarized the lagging population growth could be due to economic reasons or demographics. Economic reasons, regional characteristics that impact business productivity or amenities. See, I see the amenities as something that's a big plus. Demographics, differences in net birth rates. See, that doesn't tell me anything. That doesn't tell me anything. Says the shortfall is likely due to a relatively weaker economic performance than forecasted, leading to outward migration from the region. So people, I guess, don't make as much money here in St. Louis, which is kind of weird considering that this is a big union town. So I don't know if I necessarily buy that. It seems like there's a ton of union jobs here and everything's proud union. There's union this, union that. That kind of keeps the wages up, but it also keeps, you know, the cost of services up if you hire someone that's a union shop, you know. But that kind of fuels that economy. And it seems like we got a lot going down here. Part of this, too, is you look at the metropolitan area. Not necessarily just St. Louis, but the metropolitan area. It says he found that the population in 2018 was about 175,000 less than they projected. But the projected growth for that period, they thought was going to hit 11%. But that's not the case. It was closer to like 5%. A lot lower than the way it should be. Yeah, it's kind of a shame. Well, how about Kansas City? It's not like St. Louis is the only one with problems. Kansas City's growing, but they're also trying to figure out how to deal with some of the violent crime, like St. Louis is also having some violent crimes. It says, for the past month, Kansas City police have gone after and arrested small groups of criminals the department says is responsible for the vast majority of homicides and other violent crimes that have taken place recently in the city. John Hayden was trying that. They were trying to focus on certain areas in the city that they knew were high crime areas. And the people that were going to those high crime areas, they understand, were probably going there to commit crimes, whatever the crime may be. Now, what happened was when the patrols went to higher crime areas and they higher patrolled, either the crime area grew or they took their crime somewhere else, right? They don't want the police always watching over them. So, hey, if we can't get away with it over here. But there is gang violence here in St. Louis. We do have some other violent crime issues. He says the effort of the strategy launched 5 years ago as part of the Kansas City No Violence Alliance. No Violence Alliance sounds so official. It also sounds like so pie in the sky, right? No violence allowed in Kansas City. See, we're going to put a policy in place that everyone will have to abide by. A crime-fighting coalition between local, state, and federal authorities says although the number of these violent offenders is low, there's a responsible for the vast majority of our violent crime. Haven't we heard that before here in St. Louis? Didn't we hear that exact same argument when it came to a group of three or four that were breaking into cars through downtown? We have these just an unbelievable amount of car break-ins. You know, you park your car downtown, if you got anything inside of it, odds are, hey, you're going to get broken into. Kind of sad. But we had that issue. And what happened? They found the ring of people that were doing it, that were breaking in. Remember, some of them even ran, but they were able to catch them eventually. And all of the evidence that they found filled up like an entire room at a police station. They had so much evidence. They didn't know how to process it all in a timely amount of time. And they had to find the people that they stole it from, which is very difficult because not always do the people that had a theft from their vehicle report the crime. You know, they just say, oh, well, someone got in and stole this. It's not worth reporting if someone just stole a $50 or $100 item or whatever. So then they had to track down, okay, who's the owner of these, which was difficult, which they didn't know if they were going to be able to do that in time in order to charge them properly. But they said, okay, if we can get these people off the street, what's going to happen? Well, the break-ins of the cars will definitely go down. And it did for a little tiny itsy-bitsy amount of time. And then it just went right back up. Like if you were to go back to the crime statistics, we still have car break-ins that are very high. In fact, we're trending higher than we had last year. So why is it that if you remove just the few that they believe were the ones committing all the crimes and get them off the streets and commit them of those crimes, that all of a sudden the break-ins would end? Well, and even though they didn't, why would Kansas City believe the same thing too? Well, it's kind of, you can see some parallels there. So you can take some people that are committing crimes and get them off the street. It doesn't necessarily mean there's not going to be more people committing the crimes as a way to see it as an opportunity or whatever, if it's gang violence, or maybe there's competition out there for some of them. There could be some of that going on. So it doesn't, that way of thinking doesn't necessarily work. We hope that it works, but it doesn't necessarily work. One thing that they did that I thought was really smart, they announced an increase in the reward money offered up if you give tips on homicides. A great way to stop homicides is, well, pay the people that know information to try to get them committed of a crime. Right now, the reward is $10,000. If you give them information that leads to them getting arrested and going to jail for a homicide, $10,000 is what you would get for that tip. That's pretty big. They're going to up that to $25,000. It's a pretty big deal. $25,000. That's a great way. If someone's in a bad spot, you know what? I'll call in a tip. I'll let them know who did this. And it leads to them going to jail, getting in prison. $25,000 is a lot of money. And I'm sure that worked really well. St. Louis, are you listening? St. Louis, are you listening? You put a reward out there, there's going to be a lot of people ranting. And you know what? I don't blame them. They should be doing those things. So $25,000 is enough to get anyone to pick up a phone. It's a lot of money. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You're always invited to call. We keep things open for business here on KMOX. I have fun with food stories, and KFC is going to be putting out next week, because next week is July. You know, it's June 24th now. in St. Louis, Missouri. So 1 week from today is July 1st. July 1st. Oh, my. Year's nearly half over. Wow. So KFC is launching what they call a Cheetos sandwich, and I cannot wait to eat it. I was talking to my wife about this. So it looks like just your regular KFC-style sandwich. I don't normally go to KFC for sandwiches. You know, there's a couple of different alternatives out there that I like. But I like, you know, I'll go to KFC once in a while. I really like their mashed potatoes and gravy. Oh, is that good. But they have these sandwiches, apparently, that they're going to offer with Cheetos. Just Cheetos. Yeah, your regular crunchy Cheetos that you put on there. And all the reviews have come back raving about how awesome this thing is, and I totally understand and believe it. I was telling my wife about this, and I said, oh, I can't wait to go eat that. And she says, you know, we got Cheetos. You can just go buy the sandwich and put Cheetos on them. And I said, it doesn't work that way. It has to be. And I said, well, maybe it does work that way. No, it doesn't work that way. There's got to be something special that they put onto it. No, it's probably just throwing some Cheetos onto this thing. Like Taco Bell will put Fritos in their burrito, which is really good. And every once in a while, you'll see like Burger King, they were doing the Cheetos with the mac and cheese bites. And I think like Cheetos is pretty popular. Like Taco Bell does the nacho taco shell from Doritos. Yeah, they all have their novelty things. And it's a great way for those fast food restaurants to grab a little bit of new, curious people to come in and try things. It's only going to be there for a month, but I want it now. This KFC sandwich looks so good. So it's a week from today, July 1st, and it's only there for 4 short weeks. I wonder if I can buy a bunch and freeze them. We got this like freezer chest thing. There's a couple of different things that they're going to be doing. Cheeto-wise, but not every location's going to have it. So some will have the Cheetos-filled KFC hot wings. Oh! Cheetos-loaded fries or the KFC mac and Cheetos bowl. Oh, that sounds so awesome. My kid would go crazy for that mac and Cheetos bowl. If I told him that existed, he would yell. He would immediately go, what? Let's go right now. Let's go right now. What else do I got? I got a couple of other food stories. There's one from The Delish. These are all from The Delish. It's a blog that I follow for food stories. Yeah, that's right. I track fast food stories online. So what? What of it? Domino's will be delivering pizza using autonomous vehicles this year. And I'm looking at a picture of this thing. It is such a dork mobile. It kind of looks like an enclosed golf cart, but they have the DeLorean wing doors. And it looks like it's battery powered. There's no way there's an engine on this thing. So there has to be some sort of battery pack on it. Domino's announced the release of a self-driving pizza delivery car. So I'm guessing this thing rolls up to your property and then the door opens and you grab your food. I'm going to guess that's what's happening here. So on one side, they got where all the pizza boxes are. On the other side, it looks like they have sodas and sides and toppings and things like that. So as they have a new partnership with the robotics company Neuro. It says in their deal, Neuro plans to help tackle an ongoing labor shortage from the pizza company, 10,000 employees short nationwide. I'm just going to throw this out here in St. Louis, Missouri, because there are Domino's and of course they deliver. I wonder if they're going to have a certain area they're going to refuse to send this thing to, because they know if they send it, it's not coming back. I'm just going to throw that out there. Do you think they're going to purposely avoid some of these rougher areas? It's a good question to Domino's. It says the tech company will debut this new vehicle, made exclusively for carrying goods, features a key code delivery system. The pilot program is now in Houston, and they're hoping to get the flaws out of the system before that happens. And they hope to have it this year, 2019, 2020, I guess as far as 2021, these things rolling around. I'm not too optimistic. I don't think that's going to be happening. I am a fan of pizza. Every once in a while, instead of going out, I'll have it delivered. It's a nice convenience. But if this thing popped up and I had to go outside and pick all this stuff up, it's not a deal breaker for me. That means you don't have to tip, right? You don't have to tip a autonomous vehicle, save you a couple bucks maybe. What happens if this thing, I don't know, hits your mailbox or runs in and runs over like the kid's bike that's in the driveway? Or even worse, you go out there and then another car hits it. Then what, are you responsible? No, I don't think so. You can check that one out. Oh, here's one more food story that's absolutely bonkers. So you know what people are doing? These kids, man. sometimes kids come up with really genius things. Sometimes they come up with some really dangerous things. This is one of those dangerous things. I don't think this is happening all that often, but, you know, I'm sure it happens. So an anonymous Facebook user is posting videos of themselves going into grocery stores and switching the labels on packaging between the vegetarian and meat products. Shouldn't be laughing at this. This is not good. Well, there's all kinds of dietary problems that someone could have if they think they're getting something that's meatless, but it really has meat into it. And just think about the ingredients, if there are some sort of allergies or whatever may play a factor into this. But who thinks to do that? I mean, that's kind of evil genius high school level, isn't it? Like, that's evil genius. So they go into the grocery store, and some of these packagings, they can slip off and on. Like, what I think of is those Hormel meals. You ever buy those Hormel meals that you don't have to put in the fridge, but you can just microwave, and there's meat inside or whatever it is? And they come with these little cardboard envelope things that you can slide in and out, and they don't really glue these cardboard packaging around them, so it's easy for that to slide. Or you go into some of these bulk places that, you know, like the Sam's Clubs of the world, and you normally see these sort of things where you go in and you're like, okay, now I can slide this off, and then you can switch the labels and no one would know any better. Well, now they're figuring out ways, they say, to combat this. Now that there's a fear out there that someone's out there switching labels, that the packaging on the food should be more secure, so now they have to go out there and switch all of that sort of thing up. That scares me so much. But then again, I don't really have any food allergies. My family doesn't have food allergies. I'd just be disappointed. I'd get home and say, what is this? What is this? There's no meat in this. Yeah, pretty dangerous. Some evil stuff. If anything, they got to make sure the packaging matches up. And how often do you not pay attention to that sort of thing and just grab something off the shelf and not think twice about it? Ah, I love food stories. Are you excited about this KFC Cheeto sandwich? Maybe the coolest thing I got going for me. You know, there's my wife and son are going to be doing some traveling. They're going to go back and she's going to visit her parents and take the kid. So I'm going to have the house to myself. And the intention is I'm going to try to, you know, freshen up the house. I'm going to try to, you know, a couple of things that were damaged in the move. You know, I'm going to try to spackle here, paint over here, clean things up over there, maybe do some stuff to the bedroom, add some doors, do some things. And while I'm home for that entire week with my wife gone, with no one to cook for me, I feel like I'm going to be eating this KFC sandwich for a straight week. Maybe I should get them on as a sponsor, because just to underwrite the amount of sandwiches I'm going to eat from them. And I'll come home and I'll gain 10 pounds. My wife's going to say, none of your clothes fit. What happened? I'm going to say, KFC Cheeto sandwiches is what happened. Couldn't get enough every day of KFC sandwiches. Oh boy, that's a scary thought, isn't it? I'm going to have to get some of those jeans that look like, you know, with the elastic. You ever seen those? They kind of like build them out on the end so they you can stay comfortable in them. You know, do they still sell those sweatpants to make it look like jeans? I think that would be the way to do it. I got to go get some of those sweatpants that look like jeans, and that way I can get away with it in public. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Here we are yet again, getting close to 1 o'clock, and of course, Big Al on the line. How are you, Big Al?
Good, buddy. Hey, I just want to say I'm sure glad that the words got through to companies about labeling, because I'm a diabetic, and that's the first thing I look at, that and carbs.
Of course, yeah. So, that's crazy, isn't it? That's happening. Yeah, that's another thing to worry about.
But when you look at the label, sometimes it says you don't want to know. It's probably like those sandwiches you're going to be eating. You need to cut it down. Your cholesterol is going to be soaring.
You have no idea. I can't resist when those things come out. I just want to go and eat it nonstop.
Well, you need to limit yourself a little bit.
I know. I'm not going to eat it nonstop, but there's going to be all the opportunity to with the wife and kid out of town.
Right. And then anytime she sends you out for anything, you just swoop through there, scarf it down before you get home.
You know what I have a hard time? I have a hard time resisting driving through a Lion's Choice to get a custard, frozen custard. Oh, I can't help myself with that either.
I have a hard time going past one. They're so darn good.
Oh, I know. So what's new, Big Al?
Well, I got a quick story for you about, I know we're going back, but I went to the parade. So I'm coming in on 70 from St. Charles. So I go past the Millennium, which is where I usually parked, the round one. And so I get down at 7th and I come back, you know, towards Millennium, and I get right to the block before the Millennium, and the highway patrol has got a block.
Mm-hmm.
And he's waving me to 44 and Spruce, and I'm like, excuse me. I put my hand on, hold it. So he's all mad. I pull up, roll the window down, and I go, I park at the Millennium. I have a pass. He's like, oh, okay. So I drive around the barrier. I pull into the Millennium. That's where I usually park.
Yeah.
And my boys know me. I pull in there. There's not a soul there, Rick. I'm like, this is weird. It's the EMS staging area. All the ambulances are there.
Oh,
and
wow. Yeah.
And the bikes. And I pull into my spot. And I get out. And this fire lady comes up. She goes, there's no parking here. I go, you need to calm down. So I walk over to the office, knocked on the door. My boys come out. They're like, Dig out. Can you believe it? I go, we won. I go, hey. I go, here's $40. I'm in the spot. He goes, really? I go, yeah. He goes, okay, here's the ticket. So he gives me the ticket. I go back, put it on the dash, go to the parade, right? Have a great time. Come back. Now, when I get out of the Millennium, you can only go right. I look up to the right. It's blocked off with those steel things still. And I notice some people come out of the garage on that side, coming out and going left, which was the wrong way, down towards the highway patrol. That was earlier. So I come out, look to my right. No way. I turn left. I start heading back towards the guys. And here he comes. Now, they already have their lights on to make sure everybody knows they're there. But here he comes, pulls, racing up to my window. I roll the window down. And I go, I don't know how to get out. It's all blocked off up there. And he goes, Big Al? I go, yeah. He goes, you were at the garage the other morning and met the team. I remember you. I go, yeah, that was me. He goes, well, I think we can get out up here. I go, you know what, officer? I'll just follow you. So I you behind him. He's got the lights on, right? And then we're driving up, and I'm honking Let's Go Blues with a highway patrol escort.
Yeah. Big Al, how often do you plan on just getting lucky like this? Is it all the time?
No, I count on it.
You count on it. You just count on getting how about all those things to fall
I'd
into place?
I'd rather be lucky than good, and I'm pretty darn lucky, and I got to say I'm blessed.
Yeah.
But in a serious note, to the patrolman, I know Tim Swope, who's chief of North County. He used to be out here in St. Charles County, and to everyone out there, my condolences to the family, and say what you want, but when you need somebody, who do you call?
Yeah.
And they come running. So think about it, people.
It's just terrible. Such a sad day.
You know? And Wesley, I hope you think about that death only now. All right?
Thanks, Big Al. Good to hear from you.
Don't come to St. Charles County. My boy Tim Lomar will get you ass Pam up.
I know. We got to get done with this. My big hope right now is in the city. If Kim Gardner loses her license, then she's out. And that's like the big thing I'm hoping for at this point. Let's get a new circuit attorney in.
What is wrong with these people that are in government? Like light arm asleep cruising, and now you got Stinger and all his henchmen. I mean, do these people really think they're that smart?
Yeah, but they do. They think they can get away with anything.
Well, join my girl Pam up in prison then, idiots. You deserve it. God bless you.
Bye.
See
you. Oh, man. He reminds me of, like, Ferris Bueller growing up. So he's basically Ferris Bueller. I want to know if he was like that in high school. Yeah. You're going to hear the latest with Alex Degman at the news here because we're just a couple of minutes away from it, but we can cover it again, and it's actually a really, really sad story. So earlier today, a North County Police Cooperative officer was shot and killed in Wellston. He was being called to a local business in the Clay's Wellston Market. About 4:30 in the afternoon, someone was trying to pass a bad check. He shows up. That suspect shoots and kills him. And I was listening to some videos of the people that were frantically trying to figure out what to do next and call the paramedics and get everyone, you know, just hoping that the paramedics would show up in time to the Clay's Wellston Market. And the person was mentioning in the video, and I don't know this to be true, because the police haven't actually held a full debriefing on this to the press. They had a quick press conference, but they didn't do a full press conference. They said that's going to happen on Monday. But they made it sound like the guy went out to his car and didn't flee. He just, like, hung around. Where the one quick press conference they actually had with the cooperative chief police, John Buchanan, mentioned that the officer died on the scene. It's a terribly sad, sad, sad situation. Michael Langsdorff is his name. And he's got a fiance, two kids. The suspect was apprehended with the weapon. And you heard some of those sounds, and it's haunting to listen to the audio of it. But they, I don't know why the person would do a quick, like, live Facebook video at the scene of the crime, but it's so frantic. I don't think the person was thinking about trying to preserve the information so they don't forget it when everyone's running around. I just think that it's the person's first instinct anymore to grab their phone. And it was just terrible.
Please hurry up. We got a police there. Oh, my God. I'm shaking. Motherfuckers just shot the police.
Yeah. Well, I think that was different. Yeah. It's just sad altogether. I think that was a producer, Ben. That was one that Alex gave me. At the very end, it sounded different than what I heard before. We should probably double check the news. Did it say the news one's fine? Okay. He left me the full one unedited. This is the one he edited for me to have. So I grabbed that from the on-air folder. That's the one that he said he took out of there that was safe to play. Just out of precaution, I hit the button just to make sure. So we might want to listen to that one again. And hopefully he didn't use that in his newscast, so we'll go back and do that. We are live with you tonight, and coming up in the next hour, Toy Story 4 had a big weekend. If you went to go see Toy Story 4, they made a lot of money. Tom Hanks was doing an interview on the Graham Norton show. It's too bad we don't have a show like that here in the United States. I guess James Corden is probably the closest you have to that here in the United States, but man, the guy does a great interview. And Tom Hanks was on there talking about his acting on how he acted during the recording of his voice for Woody for Toy Story 4. Let's talk about that coming up too. And you can find that story in Alex Degman's going to talk more about the officer that was shot and killed on KMOX.com. You can get that right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.